To be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways. To feel a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheeks. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on a foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten. Connecting with your souls in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Speaking of Writing, a new podcast. Speaking of Writing is open for authors from all over the world. This gives us an opportunity to broaden our experiences, to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and struggles, and realize that we all have a story, and they are all worth telling. I hope you enjoy this. Good morning. I'm Rose Cushing, host of Speaking of Writing, a literary podcast. My guest today is Luke Seibert. Very excited to have Luke on the show. He's got a new book coming, and he's a very interesting author. So, Luke, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And before, you know, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, sure. So I live in North Alabama, and my background was in cabinet making and carpentry. And did that for a little bit. And then I lost my sight in a car wreck when I was 19. And that really shook me up a lot. I had to wrestle with that for a while. But then the Lord began to lead me into pastoral ministry and begin to pursue that. But simultaneously, I wanted to do something to fill my time. And so I began to write stories, which turned into a book. I didn't set out to write a book, but the stories continued to grow into writing a book. And that has led to me continue to write books since then. So yeah, I'm involved at working at our church as one on our pastoral staff there and finishing up at seminary and enjoy writing books in my free time.
Very nice. Yeah. Now, I can imagine that losing your sight at such a young age was quite a battle.
Yeah, it was. I wrestled with that for several months. But the Lord gave me a lot of peace through that. And that's a kind of a whole story right there, how he did that. But surrounded me with a supportive, loving family and a good church, and it brought me through that time.
It's wonderful how we have God to lean on when we need him.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your new book.
Sure. So it's called A Worth the Cost. And it's a historical fiction book that's generally set for like young adult audience, but it could have a wider readership than that. It's set in the 2nd century BC in Israel, when Israel was oppressed and ruled over by the Greeks. And the Greeks really tried to eradicate belief in the one true God, tried to paganize the Jews, if you will. And then there was this tension of the Jews saying, do we just submit to what the Greeks are saying, or do we push back? And finally, things grew to the point where some Jews rose up and said, enough is enough. We're going to stand for the law. We're going to stand for the Lord, and started a rebellion that lasted for a long time, but eventually resulted in their freedom. So this book is set in that context, looking at that tension between the times when the Greeks took over and that rebellion started, and trying to think, what kind of tensions did they face? And so it follows the story of a young man. His name is Abner, and he's very passionate about everything that he does, but he feels pulled in two directions. And so it's his journey of, who's he going to follow? Is he going to follow some of his friends and just submit to the Greeks, or is he going to stand up for the Lord?
That's really a good perspective. I don't believe that's something that's been done commonly. So very interesting.
Yeah.
And as you're writing this book,
mm-hmm.
when does it come out?
So it just released the end of last month. So it's available now.
Okay. What was your biggest obstacle in writing it, getting it on the market?
Yeah. My biggest obstacle, I say, we try to make the book authentic, because that's one of my pet peeves with like historical fiction writing, is it, I want it to feel authentic to that time period.
Uh-huh.
And so I've enjoyed studying history, but more American history. So this really stretched me in trying to think about the research about how is this historically accurate to a culture I can't go and visit anymore, because it's thousands of years old, and trying to think through that. So try to find good resources to research, and then how to shape the story to make it authentically. I had to rewrite several parts because the dialogue was too modern for back then. I had some people help me point that out, and then trying to think through, okay, maybe this wasn't exactly how things would have played out. So how do I tweak this to make this more reflect the timeline? So I guess my biggest challenge in short was to make the story fit authentically with that historic time period.
I'm sure that was hard because that time period has so much, history and things going on that it would take a lot of research.
So I've enjoyed studying that, digging into some of the source resource, the pure works that are written about that time period, and then other historical books that are written about it afterwards. But it kind of took a while to get it to where the storyline worked. It took me about a period of 3 years. Not all of that was research. A lot of it was rewriting or letting it sit for a little bit and then coming back to it later, with fresh eyes and stuff. So it was a long journey, but I really enjoyed digging into that and writing the story for it.
So your book is available now. Where can we buy it?
So it's available on Amazon with both paperback, Kindle versions. It's also available on my website, hisministries.com. So either of those places would have options there for people to purchase it.
And how can people follow you to keep up with the things you're doing?
So I bought mostly on Facebook at Here I Stand Ministries. Mostly available on there. Also on YouTube, put some stuff out. And I have links for those things on my website.
Okay. And now you've written other books. So
I have.
tell me a little bit about those.
So I've written several other books, about seven other books. The first book that I wrote was a novel. It was called The Master of My Life. And it's not exactly an autobiography, but it is inspired by some stuff I went through. And it's a story of a young man. And there he's running from God. He kind of grew up in somewhat of a Christian home, but doesn't really believe all that. Kind of grew up with an abusive father. And then he's run out on his own. And through a series of events, he's having to confront some of the demons of his past. And it's really wrestling with the question of how could a loving God allow all this evil and suffering? He meets this young boy who loves Jesus, but he's dying of cancer. And so his kind of personal faith journey is that book. I've written a trilogy about the American Civil War from a perspective of a young man who is adamantly opposed to slavery, but he lives in Virginia. And so that kind of tension of, well, I love my state, but I hate what we're doing here, and him trying to work through that. So that's the Chesson Valley series. It's a couple other novels I've written, more contemporary fiction set in North Alabama. And then one I wrote a couple years ago is called Never Saw It Coming. And it's the memoir of me losing my sight and kind of that journey of wrestling with now what? I think life is over, but life isn't. So how do I go forward with this? So yeah, so most of my books are novels, but I do have that one memoir.
And do you use the fact that you lost your sight? Is that part of your ministry now going forward?
At times, it has opened up a lot of opportunities to be able to talk with people since that, and I have been able to be connected with some other people who have lost their vision, be able to speak with them, but I'm not sure exactly how it's all going to play out in terms of a specific ministry for vision impaired people. I don't exactly see that in my future, but it may. We'll just have to see what happens.
I just wondered if you were doing counseling and stuff for folks that have had those kind of losses.
Yeah, not at this point in any like a official way. I have been able to share with some people or talk to people who are struggling with that. And I'm actually in seminary right now, taking a counseling class right now. So maybe something like that will open up in the future.
Okay. All right. Now tell us one more time where we can buy your books.
You can find them on Amazon under my name there, or or on my website at hisministries.com.
Okay. His ministry, HISMINISTRY.com.
Ministry, so it's the IES on the end there.
Okay. All right. All right. Anything else that, oh, I need you to give me some advice for somebody that's young and or not necessarily young, but young to our industry that is starting a book, how to keep going. What would be your best advice?
I would say just keep writing. I've heard that a lot, and some of my books have changed a good bit from when I first sat down to write, thinking I had an idea of where it was going to go, and it changed multiple times. Or I've started a few books that didn't really go anywhere, so I had to set those aside. But just that consistency of keep choosing to write, and maybe this first story you start writing isn't how the book is going to turn out, but that's okay. So just keep writing, and the more you do, the better you'll get, and the more I think you'll enjoy it.
Very good advice. Now, are you traditionally published or self-published?
I'm self-published.
And why did you choose to go that route?
Chose mainly because there was very low overhead with it, and I wasn't really thinking I was going to publish books for like a wide audience at first. I thought it was just going to be something I would get out there for family and friends when I wrote my first book, and found that process being pretty simple, and I just kept up with it ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really interesting. Anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners about you or your books?
It's my books. One thing I try to do is for most of my novels is try to think of a difficult situation that someone may be in, and try to put myself in their shoes and think, okay, what does it mean to follow the Lord in this situation? Or if I was in their place, what would I do? So I enjoy writing those type of stories that have a lot of internal tension with the characters there.
I think that's a wonderful service because I think that, people oftentimes don't feel like they can ask God in simple tribulation, They feel like they should reserve it for if they're about to die. But, God and I talk every day about the smallest things to the largest things, and it's a great comfort.
Absolutely, it is.
So, people need to understand, and you're doing that with those stories, that everything is not life and death, even though sometimes it feels like it.
Right, exactly. But just constantly walking with the Lord every day and seeking His guidance.
Yeah, having that relationship is a really important part of my life, and I'm sure other people's too. That, it's like a family member that you can tell anything to, and it's okay. And that's such a gift, such a gift.
Is.
I know my mom used to tell me, tell God the good things and tell him the bad things too. So,
Right. Tell them both.
yeah. It's been wonderful talking to you today, and I appreciate you being on the show. And I look
Well, thanks.
forward
I've
to
enjoyed it.
being able to help you promote your book in a small way. And thank you guys, as always, for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?